Blog Talk Radio.
Now is not the time to knock soft. Now is the time to knock all of the locks off. We've been locked down, learning to rock soft. And trying to get rocks off, and dodging the rocks off from the law. And I done saw it all. Saw him cop his first check, saw bars on fall like D-Rose. But you won't stand tall when your knee goes up. Flip and snitch on your Migos. So far from that kid that my race said. Heated up the wash-up tub with hot plates. I gotta be great, I gotta grind smarter. I don't think they hear me, I gotta knock.
It used to be big families. Now all we want is two or three offspring. Inflation did this, you see. Not enough underpaid. Gotta work two jobs these days. 9 to 5, 6 to 10. And then you gotta
do it again.
It's a hard knock life.
It's a hard knock life.
It's getting pretty rough out here.
It's a hard knock life.
It's gonna be tough out here.
It's a hard knock life.
It's a hard knock life.
It's a hard knock life.
It's a hard knock life out here. Yeah, gotta keep spirits high. Even though you're just getting by. Cause you were left with no help
all by yourself.
He walked away, didn't stay. Now you're home all alone.
Didn't think he was the enemy.
He left you with 2 miles to feed. It's a hard knock life.
It's a hard knock life.
No one said it would be easy.
It's a hard knock life.
And no one said it would be fair.
It's a hard knock life.
Daddy told me that no one.
It's a hard knock life.
That no one really cared. 40 years ain't enough. So give me.
Shoot over the hood, and I ain't met a damn thing yet that can stop me. No matter where they drop me at, I'm good. You ever seen a rose grow up out of the concrete? Ever seen a comet shoot over the hood? It don't really matter where I'm at, I'm me. You can bet your life on me. I'm good.
Yeah, it's a hard knock life out here, but you gotta learn to make the best of it. You dig? Do it.
Hey, what's going on? Today we got Clarence Pencilman Porno on the phone, Lawrence County native. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, let's see where I start.
start with the hometown connection.
Yeah, do that. Shout out to everybody in Lawrence County, Hillsboro, Alabama. A little small town on the map, but I'm gonna try to put it on the map. Do the best I can.
Okay. Okay, when was the first time you really decided you was going to get into art? I mean, what age did you first take it on? Was it early or was it later on?
Started doing art probably around 7, 8 years old. You know, I didn't know it was going to blow up to be what it is today. But everything starts, you know, from embryo stage, you know? Stay with it long enough, you know, put the time in. You know, and make it do what it do.
Oh yeah. What was your the first? I know all y'all know all of the work is special to you, but what was that first piece of work that you got recognition for that you can really remember that first time where, hey, I done accomplished what I set out to do. I'm on the right track.
Well, several in the early stages, you know, you might be old enough to remember these little drummy head characters that used to be in the TV Guys back in the day. Well,
uh-huh.
I drew a couple of those, sent those in to the office in Minnesota, and I won. You know, a little $25 check was pretty nice back in the mid-70s, you know. So that was the first inkling of saying, okay, this could be something, you know, in the future. You know, so I think it was a pirate. It could be a pirate or a lumberjack or something like that, but they sent me a check.
Yeah, the first time where you establish yourself. Yeah, that's when you first establish yourself. There's nothing like, you know, knowing you didn't beat out the competition and the other artists, I'm sure they were good as well. And I know we had talked about that mural down there in Cortland. You know, I had no idea about that until you actually told me. You know, I had seen it a few times and glanced, you know.
I was on vacation in like 2010 and 2011. I was home for like 10 months. I was down at Cortland High School having lunch with my cousin. She runs the lunchroom down there. And she asked me about doing a mural in the lunchroom. I was like, well, here's my cost. Let me know. I'm thinking they're going to say, oh, it's way too much. So I'm getting ready to go home back to California. And the next day she called, they said they approved it. So I'm in the lunchroom doing the mural. All the kids come through. I'm talking to them, you know, to the kids and, you know, encouraging them and inspiring them, I guess, apparently. I must have. And the principal comes in. I still call him Bean. Everybody's, for everybody else. He came in, he said, oh, Prince, man, you think you could do a mural in the main lobby, at the foyer? I was like, yeah. What about the gym?
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, the lobby and the gym? So and that's how that got going. You know, I did in the gym. That was the biggest one of all of them, one in the gym. It was a pleasure, man, to do something for the homeland folks, you know, some of the kids I knew, the parents, some of my cousins, you know, it was just a great opportunity to share the talents with the home folks.
Yeah. And that was, like I said, that was a good piece of work. And you know, we really appreciate it. I always love to see the hometown people, you know, go for their dreams. And then they never forget. They're like, you never get. You put it in stone. You put it on stone. So it's here.
Yeah, I don't even do murals. I hadn't done a mural since I was in Japan back in 1985. And I was assisting a guy doing that mural, but they're easy. I mean, the detail isn't as detailed as what I normally do. That's why I always tell up and coming artists, don't bounce around so much. Stay with one thing until you master it. And the one medium that all artists really should conquer before they try watercolor, oil, pastels, all that stuff is pencil. Once you can master pencil and get the shading down pack, you know, and all that stuff, everything else comes easy.
Yeah.
You know, so, it was a piece of cake.
All the work is good. I love the one that you did, the Pacquiao. That's the most pressing thing everybody's talking about now. So that piece, I think, it was a pretty good piece, man. It was a very good likeness. That was very good.
Well, that one, of course, is going to be featured in the West Life magazine issue. And the president of the magazine called me up and we're talking on daily almost. He called me up. He was like, look, we got a writer that's going to be doing a feature article on the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. And I was like, okay, cool. He said, I said, so do you want me to create an image for the magazine for the next issue? He was like, the deadline is the 23rd of March. I said, okay.
Uh-huh.
And it was like the 16th. And I said, well, I got a lot of other projects already, you know, I'm working on, but this takes precedence over that. So if you want me to do it, just tell me you want me to do it, and I'll try to knock it out. So what you see, this is what I did over a few days. And I had to do it prior to the fight, not after the fight. You know?
Yeah.
The hoopla, you know, and I call it finally because people have been waiting on this fight for a decade almost.
10 years,
so
yeah, almost a decade.
It's time.
Myself, I was probably thinking it would have been a better fight 5 years ago, but it's still going to be a good one, I believe.
Yeah, you know.
5 years ago, it would have been right. It would have been right.
I still think that Mayweather is in his prime still. Pacquiao is not quite as powerful or overpowering as he was 5 years ago. So,
yeah.
who's gonna win?
And he's gotten
a
little bit more reckless. You know, with that loss of power, he's gotten a little bit more reckless, and that's what I was telling some of my cousins. I was like, it's gonna be a good fight if he don't get in there and become reckless. If he get in there and become reckless and just try to go in real hard, he's gonna catch something on the defensive end that's gonna be terrible.
it has to make it for a great fight. Yeah, it really does. So, but that piece came out really good. You know, I decided to make some keepsakes. The lithographs, prints available on that, T-shirts. You know, something for people to say.
Okay, did you have those in the cups too?
I can.
You have the likeness of Pacquiao, and okay. Well, tell some of my listeners out there how they can get your work. You know, the website, or you know, wherever they can go to it and maybe order your work, or how they can get in touch with you to get some of these likenesses done, some of these portraits.
They can call me directly. They can call me on my phone number. I ain't too big. I ain't no big dog yet.
You all up in the White House and with Bill Dukes and
you know
and Michael Marijuana, you on the way. If you're not there, you're on the way. You at the doorstep.
Yeah, I always tell people I always want to be able to ask my own phone. You know, I'm a country boy. You know, I'm an ordinary guy doing extraordinary things. But my website is just my name. You know, ClarencePointer.com, Twitter, Instagram, all the social media outlets is all the same, Clarence Pointer. So I try to keep that thing, you know, simple. And, you know, if you want something personally done, just send me a pic, your favorite pic, or an idea of what you want to have done to my email, which is ClarencePointer@gmail. I'll check it out and get back with you with a accurate quote per size and whatnot. So it's easy to get hold of.
At this time, I want to take also to thank you for your service too. I always like to give the shouts out to servicemen, and I know you had served in the Air Force from 84 to 95.
Actually from 81 to 94. The first 3 years were Army National Guard over in Athens. And then I decided to go full time, which was Air Force. The Air Force is really what reignited my art career. Yeah. Okay. While I was home in Alabama, right, I was Calhoun for that quarter. And I got a B in my art class. That's really the only, I guess, college I had.
The only traditional training.
You know, yeah, but I was already too advanced for the class. And I got a B. And that B devastated me. So I stopped drawing for like 2 years. Yeah, I stopped drawing for like 2 years, and I joined the Air Force, went to Japan, and one day, I'm sitting in my dorm room. I think I was drawing a picture of Lionel Richie. That's practicing. That's you know, passing some time. And this sergeant came by my door, and he was like, "No point." I was like, "What's up?" He's like, "That's what you doing over there?" I'm just messing around. He was like, "Man, that looks good. It looks like Lionel Richie." That was back in 1985. You know, I was all right back then. And he was like, "You should do an exhibit in the library, the base library for Black History Month." I said, "No, that's all good, man. I mean, I don't enjoy it anymore. I'm just messing around." And he's like, "Man, you got some talent, bro. You should share that with everybody." I said, "I'm good." He said, "I tell you what, every day, 5:30 and 6, I'm gonna come bang on your door until you say yes." And I'm like, whatever. Every day at 5:30, he came banging on my door for over a week. And one day I just said, "Okay, I submit," because he outranked me. I couldn't do anything about it anyway.
Yeah. And so, hey,
yeah. So I just
believed in you.
Yeah, I said, he must, yeah, that's why I said, he must believe, this, you know, it meets the criteria for what they're doing over there. So I did about 10, some quickies, you know, that month for the next month. And the rest is history. Once that hit, colonels, captains, and everybody in Mama wanted me to do some artwork for them. So I made like a little extra change. Doing the 4 years when I was in Japan.
Yeah. Well, I see now you working with some of the best, and what I like, it sort of reminds me of Elizabeth Catlett. You know, she did a lot of artwork concerning the African American greats, keeping the history alive. So that's why I like that one. The best one I like that you got is the Dick Gregory and the Malcolm X. And the Martin is good, too.
Well, my thing is,
great.
I try to, make my last piece my best piece. And have a variety. I don't care what, I'm colorblind when it comes to art, because by my what I'm looking at is, the customer is going to be happy. The victim is going to be green. So,
yeah,
I'm going to be happy because they're happy.
That's what color is going to end up anyway. Mix them all together. As long as it comes out green,
you know what I'm saying?
It's okay.
So, yeah, and I was elaborating to another African American artist. I said, "Look, I ain't pro black, bro. I'm pro whoever requires, desires, and wants my artwork." And if anyone goes to my website or go to my Facebook page, and stuff, they see a variety of different things. Blacks, whites, Chinese, Mexican, cars, trees. It don't matter,
Yeah.
And that's what it takes.
Yeah, I like that, the way it's well-rounded like that, how you got the wide range of the human race on there.
Yeah, my mom raised me to be who I am. I'm not influenced by nobody or nothing.
Yeah.
I don't know what peer pressure is. It's kind of like, I'm serious. I mean, I remember when I left home.
And that's where you got to be. I find that too many people are closed. But when you get the people that's artistic, just like what I do in my poetry and my writing, I explain to people I can chop it up with you all day long about Black history. But I also know it takes everything to come together to make it what it is. Now, you can't focus on the bad that was done to you centuries ago. Because where were you at before that bad happened? So if anything happened to you now, it's up to you. If you understand and remember and studied and know your greatness, just talking about it is not going to get you out of it. You know,
no.
You got to get out there and do something. You know, talking about it is never going to get you out of there. And a lot of people can't believe that it's some certain issues, even with Republicans. I agree 100% on. But you can't be so closed and on one side until you close yourself off to the alternative. When you start closing yourself off to alternatives, then you're not going to get very far.
No, I mean, you got one thing I always elaborate. I haven't arrived yet. I'm still in the process. You know, I still have days that, you know, that, you know, I'm not, where am I going to go from here? You know, but this, I'm closer to the end of the rainbow than I was when I first start. And I always say yes to every opportunity that comes my way. No event is too big or too small, you know, so because you never know who you're going to meet at any given time, at any given place. I was home on vacation in Alabama in 2010. I had just arrived from Atlanta from a TV show. And I get a phone call from my friend in the North Alabama area, the president of Big Brothers Big Sisters organization. And she said, "The Prince Man, look, I got a free chair at my table for the Minority Awards Banquet." And one of my classmates was winning an award that day. And she, I said, "Well, okay, cool." I said, she said, "Well, you know, Coach Henry Boone is going to be the keynote speaker." I said, "Coach Boone, yes." She said, "Yes, the real Coach Boone, not Denzel, but the real Coach Boone from Remembering the Titans." I was like, Now, how I run is to mention that because I had just finished a Black Soldiers in the Civil War drawing when I was in California. And I sent my mom like a couple copies. So, and during the movie, you know, they ran through the Battle of Gettysburg in their training. And they showed that clip when he was doing his keynote speaking. So when it was all said and done with, I went to Bogart. No one knew I was in town anyway. And I went to steal anybody's thunder and, you know, and stuff like that. But at the end of the night, they acknowledged the person who brought him to the cater. And she was sitting an arm length away from where I was sitting. And no one had even seen the drawing because I had his like, face inward. So I asked her, I said, "You think Coach Boone was like one of these limited edition prints as a keepsake? You know, it'll probably be more significant than, you know, the plaque or a certificate. He'd probably get a gazillion of those." And she was like, "I think he loved that." That's why I said, "Cool. I just wait until everybody else and got the autographs and stuff. You know, I can be the last person he sees before he goes to his room." She was like, "Okay." So my battery in my phone had died. All I wanted was a picture of me and Coach Boone taking the holding the picture. But the lady who invited me had a full battery in her camera. And she took a picture. And when I woke up the next morning, it was already posted on my wall on Facebook. You know, so, and what did that do? They ignited people to acquire the print of the Black soldiers in the Civil War just by showing an image of me and Coach Boone standing here together holding the picture.
That's a blessing, man. That's a blessing.
Yeah. So,
that's part of, like you said, being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, you know, and documentation is very important. I tell people that all the time.
Yeah.
Documentation is very important. You can talk until you're blue in the face about an event, but if you got some pics, some video footage about it, it goes far. Like you were saying with the Bill Dukes scenario, just by posting that presentation to him, I got a call from someone to create one. A Dick Gregory is coming on the weekend on the 25th. at the annual comedian convention in L.A. So the Who's Who is going to be at that luncheon from 2 to 6 on Saturday. You know, and pick me saying, who's this Pencil Man guy? You know, I said, if you don't know, now you know.
Yeah.
You know, but like I said, the Time Warner interview, people don't understand how social media works. I try to break it down to a lot of my friends and stuff that's artists. I said, you got something that you don't need a storefront for. You know, you need a website, maybe other outlets that people can access your artwork. I said, but one of the most important things is some video footage so people can they can not just see your face, they can hear your voice, see your material, and get acquainted with you somewhat. You know, you're in Alabama, right?
Yeah.
I'm in California, right?
Uh-huh.
And you saw the video, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, you saw the interview. You saw the interview. So, YouTube makes it international. You know? So
trying to get out there.
Yeah. YouTube makes it international for anybody across the world to see what you just done.
Mm-hmm.
And post it. And if someone likes it, they're going
to
share it.
I wanted to ask you about, and I wanted too, I don't know too much about this, but I wonder sometimes do they have virtual exhibits, and have you ever participated in a virtual exhibit? Like you might have been in California, but you did a virtual exhibit way in New York somewhere. Do they do anything like that?
That's a good question.
Virtual exhibit?
That's a good question. I haven't participated in one myself. I'm going to look into that. That would be cool. You know?
Yeah, that would be. Yeah. A virtual exhibit, you know, they can use the PayPal to come on in and then maybe, you know, buy works from that.
That would be
a couple of artists or something like that.
Yeah, you give me an idea now. I just jot that down on my paper, you know, virtual
exhibit.
Hey,
that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I'll inbox you some more information on that, man. We got to look out for each other, you know, pump each other up. You know, you're an artist, or when you're doing something new and you're trying to get out there, you need all your friends, all your homies. That's why I said when I started this radio station, I wanted to focus on the people that was from here first, you know, because there's a lot of things like you, Ken, or and some more other people doing some things that we know around here, but a lot of times, you know, your work is set itself when it gets out there. But a lot of times people look at, well, you know, where's the, you know, they want your home team. And it looks a whole lot better when your home team is out there pushing for you and give you that courage. And it helps you, you know, but it helps you to know that, hey, you know, my family, my people, my homies, they believe in me, they're pushing it. And that's what I've been trying to stress here in the North Alabama area. We got so much talent coming through here on all types of subjects. We just need to come together, you know, in some kind of some kind of organization or something that supports each other, no matter what the talents are. Just because if you do music and I do, you know, pencil art and I do spoken word, it doesn't mean we can't be coming together and doing something together, promoting each other.
Exactly. I already know that when I get home again, because it's kind of like I got cousins. They are like phenomenal singers and musicians, and I'm sure there are some that are master chefs that I don't even know about. Ken Orr, he's my cousin. D. Lucas from Athens. He lives in Atlanta now. He's a jazz musician. Have you heard him? D. Lucas?
Yeah.
And then I got another cousin, Sharon, he sings. I'm probably going to have an art exhibit or something of that nature. And just have a, big old.
They had some live entertainment in
yeah.
that thing.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
You know?
Because you know we're getting that the music theme park over there in Florence. They're building
no,
the music
I,
theme.
I,
$2 billion.
Okay.
Said they're going to bring 20,000 jobs. Yeah. For outdoor and for indoor performance stages, and I think they're going to have skiing year-round. It's going to be huge. They're going to center it all around the music, you know, because this area is rich in music. So everybody, especially our you know, local communities, we need to be getting together on this music thing and everything with the arts, because there's going to be a lot
wow.
of opportunities there. They talk about having this thing ready in less than 2.5-3 years at the most. Yeah,
wow.
It's a, music, it's going to be a music theme resort.
Interesting.
In Florence. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. $2 billion into it. That's a whole lot.
Do we have like rides and stuff like that too?
Uh-huh.
Like, okay. Wow.
I mean, that's going to be good.
Let me work from home for on summer vacation.
Oh, yeah. Well, man, I'm going to take this quick break right quick, and then we're going to come back. I'm going to ask you something about some other artworks, and I'm going to play this recorded piece about David C. Driscoll. Okay, hold on.
Sounds
one
good.
Second.
In honor of the David C. Driscoll Center, one of the world's leading authorities on the subject of Arica American art, Professor David C. Driscoll is highly regarded as an artist and a scholar. Born in 1931 in the Attitude, GA, and grew up in North Carolina, David C. Driscoll completed the art program in 1953 at Skowhegan School of Painting and Sculpture, Maine. He received an undergraduate degree in art from Howard University in 1955 and an MFA from Catholic University of America in 1962. He then pursued postgraduate study in art history at the Netherlands Institute for the History of Art in The Hague. Trained as a painter and art historian, Driscoll works primarily in college and mixed media, and printmaking. Professor Driscoll began his teaching career at Talladega College in 1955. He taught at Howard and Fisk Universities and served as visiting professor of art at Bowdoin College, the University of Michigan, Queens College, and Abarthamiawillo University in Elf, Egeria. He joined the faculty of the Department of Art at the University of Maryland, College Park, in 1977, and served as its chairperson from 1978 to 1983. In 1995, he was named Distinguished University Professor of Art and taught until his retirement in 1998. In 2001, the University of Maryland established the David C. Driscoll Center to honor Professor Driscoll as an artist, art historian, collector, curator, and scholar by preserving the rich heritage of African-American visual art and culture. The recipient of numerous fellowships, awards, and prizes, including 3 Rockefeller Foundation Fellowships and a Haruma Fudatio Fellowship, Professor Driscoll has also received 13 honorary doctoral degrees in art. While teaching at the University of Maryland, Professor Driscoll maintained an active career as a practicing artist, teacher, curator, collector, art administrator, and art consultant. He has lectured across the globe, and his works are included in major collections of art museums throughout the world. Professor Driscoll has authored 5 exhibition books on the subject of African American art, co-authored 4 others, and published more than 40 catalogs from exhibitions he has curated. In 1976, Driscoll curated the groundbreaking exhibition 2 Centuries of Black American Art, 1750-1950, which has been the foundation for the field of African American art history. Since 1977, he has served as curator of the Camilo and William H. Cosby Collection of African American Art. In 2000, Professor Driscoll was honored by President Bill Clinton as one of 12 recipients of the National Humanities Medal. In 2005, the High Museum of Art in Atlanta, GA, established the David C. Driscoll Prize, the first national award to honor and celebrate contributions to the field of African American art and art history. In 2007, Professor Driscoll was elected as a National Academician by the National Academy. His biography was written by Dr. Julie McGee, a curator of African American art at the University of Delaware University Museums, and published in 2006 by Pomegranate Publications, Incorporated. David Driscoll and his wife, Selma, maintain residences in Hyattsville, Maryland, Falmouth, Maine, and New York City.
Hey, okay, we back with the Pencil Man, Clarence Porter. And, man, I want to ask you about that Hands of Wisdom. That's another picture that stands out to me. You know, you can just time in those hands. It's like those hands have really seen a lot. It's like they're in contemplation.
You know?
It just brings out strength in those hands, too.
Yeah, I mean, it really symbolizes, you're so used to seeing this image of the praying hands where they're pointing upward, you know, the hands are face each other, you know. I wanted something different. I wanted something that had more powerful and. So the image, I was like, that's it. And it's really symbolizing to me, anyone who's just spoke anything of influencing your life, any kind of words of wisdom, you know. And it reminds me of my granddad's hands.
Yeah.
Hard working, you know, life. Could be like a doctor, a lawyer, could be anybody's hands. That, you know, I said,
yeah.
So, but the detail in it was like what drew me to the picture. And I think I did a pretty good job on that.
It does, because it looked like this is, you know, it's positive because the hands together like that, it really shows something strong. But the hands, you know, just like all the wrinkles. You can tell that person has been there. They've been there.
Yeah.
And hands crossed like that, it also symbolizes happiness too. You know, even though it looked like it had a rough time, there's still happiness.
Yeah. And it kind of embraced my dream. I told her, I said, the joy of the struggle for me personally, the joy of the struggle is going to be worth the reward in the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just so many doors that I thought was going to open up, didn't open up. Some people who I thought was going to be that person to give me that helping hand I was looking for, it didn't happen. Because I didn't live in no handout, but I'd gladly take a helping hand. And like I said on my video, my interview, you know, you putting your stuff out there, the right folks are going to see it. Somebody's going to see it and take notes.
Huh?
And that's what happened with the magazine, Sports Life magazine. The president called me up and said, look, Pencil Man, I showed you all the work to the other board members, and we want you to be the face of this magazine. And I'm like, really? He said, really? I mean, work is that stellar, and let's do this.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
Great.
It is. And you deserve it. You deserve it.
You know? So now.
I can tell on all the pictures you deserve. Yes.
You know, for that, because I made history with that. That magazine is going to be at Barnes & Noble on the 28th, 4,000 plus Barnes & Nobles nationwide.
I'm sitting there looking at the cover now. Is that the A-Rod that's going to be on the cover?
No. See, the back panel a little bit. The A-Rod was the first one I did, but it was strictly online viewing only. And then I did one, the San Diego Chargers, which was online viewing only. Now, all along, they were trying to get to the mainstream with the actual book that you could, you know, turn the pages on. So, so by the third issue, one with LeBron James on the cover, it hit the mainstream, but it was only in like Books of Million. And Books of Million, was only like 250 of those nationwide. But still, that's good. It was on the shelf. My artwork was actually on the bookshelf. But then the big boy started, you know, monitoring the sales and stuff, and long story short, Barnes & Noble was like, we want to carry it now. So it's going to go from 250 outlets to 4,000, almost like the very next issue. And then, like, the other big boys,
it's going global.
Looking around the corner, too.
Going global.
I don't know names yet, but the other big boys, like, the next issue is going to be in those stores. So our main thing right now with the magazine, so I am part of the board. Our main goal now is to get everyone to subscribe, because that's to support for everybody. To subscribe will keep it, will solidify the success of the magazine. So, you know, like, everybody from home, so everybody will know who I am.
Yeah.
You know.
Make sure they cop that issue too.
Yeah, I mean, it's when it came into Books a Million in late February, it was gone within a week because there's only like 10 issues they got, and it was gone like almost like that. So the wire thing I was telling everyone to do, this is a subscription, because you want some bookshelf and it don't last long.
Yeah, you're right about that.
You know, and that's
it. You only get that, only order that two and just put that one up. Because it's going to be a class.
What I love about each and every issue is going to be a classic. Mm-hmm. And I say it because every issue is going to feature my art on the cover.
Yeah.
Every issue. Not just one, but every issue. And all the interior artwork as well. So, that's historical part of what's happening. People don't realize that what I'm doing has been done in over 50 years.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
run with it. It's one of the biggest things. It's one of the biggest things that a person from this area has done in a long time that I can remember. Now, I know there's this guy here, Scott Horton. Now, he has wrote for Time Magazine and other things. He's also from Lawrence County. He's a very good writer. But in your field, I can't think of anybody that's done anything like that.
But not just in Lawrence County. I'm talking about nationwide. And nothing like this has been done since Norman Rockwell from the Fair Eden Post, and not just in Lawrence County. Artists, period. I mean, that's thousands of artists nationwide. But only one was chosen for this particular gig, and that's me. You know, I'm not a boasting guy, but it is what it is.
Yeah, you better claim it. You better claim it.
You know?
That's what I tell. Hey, you got to claim it. You got to go out there and say it and believe it. You know it. You know it already, because the proof is there. You left your footprint. You were in California. You got a permanent footprint right down there. As long as this school's standing, the painting gonna stand.
See this now.
I'm looking at that Michael Jackson picture. And you nailed that one too. The one with the Michael Jackson with the afro, nailed it.
Oh yeah,
nailed.
Yeah,
it looked like that. It looked like that for an album cover.
You know, it's like I was telling someone. I said, just go with the flow. Go with the flow. You know, let God be in the driver's seat, and just go along for the ride. You know,
And like you said earlier, you got to hone in that talent. Like you said, you master the pencil work first. You got to hone in that talent.
Yeah. I mean, while I was in Japan, a little short Okinawan guy told me. He said, "Look, this is a Ponto-san." He said, "You're pretty good at what you do," and that was about right. I was pretty good. I wasn't nearly as good as I am now. It's been 30 years ago. But he said, master this. It might take you 20 years to master this. Don't bounce around. You know, don't try to prove to everybody that you can do everything. You know, master one first and then go to something else. You know, I took it to heart, and like I said, what you see now is what you get from years of practice and persistence and having a passion for what I do, and just knowing in the end that God's going to provide, you know, everything I need. That's just my only thing right there. God got my back. And I know that.
He blessed you with that talent, and that's the best thing you can do is to sharpen it up. You know, he gave you that skill. Now it's up to you to master it. Like, you don't master it, you know. It's always going to be a working process. You can always improve. But you're being exactly, that's what I was talking to Ken Orr about, too, in his expectations. He was talking about, and you probably dealt with the same thing. I'm going to ask you about that, too, about how many times when we want to go for our dreams, other people don't see your vision. And I've seen so many people be talked out of their dreams because a loved one or a friend, boyfriend or girlfriend just didn't see it. They didn't see it because it's not their dream. It wasn't their vision. So you waste time trying to explain to other people. But I know you've probably encountered everybody that wasn't sold on in the beginning, but now they can't deny it. You know, they probably grow right now. I'm saying, it's there. But I always like to hear a message where people kept going when nobody else saw their vision.
Absolutely. You know, I remember growing up, I got massive support, but there was one person, I remember about 14 years old, it meant well. You know, like I said, the feminine folks, they want to try to, you know, steer you in the direction in which they think you need to go or whatever. You do pretty good work, but, you know, you find you a regular job type thing.
And I was just about to say that. That's usually the thing they say when you're going after your dreams. You can get your job. Stop that.
They need to stop that. You know what I'm saying? You know, don't try to derail somebody from the things that God has destined for them to do. And, you know, that's not their role. Their role is just to support you best they can. And you can have positive say, don't say nothing.
Got to keep going regardless, because if you sit back and let somebody else control your destiny, I'm telling you, you'll end up feeling miserable and regretting the rest of your life. Man, I should have been drawing after about 20 years of being talked out of it. be trying to do it, you way behind.
Yeah, even if you're miserable.
I had that happen with me, because I had worked with some powerful people. I'd been a campaign manager. I wrote speeches, did opposition research, and for a while I did avoid certain subjects because I know it was kind of pushy, that it was kind of interfering with what, at the time, the person that was my benefactor in the project I was working on didn't agree with me on some subject. So I kept quiet, and to this day, I hate that I kept quiet for so long. I'm like, man, I got to do my own thing. Because it's a message out there for everybody, and I'm not just locked into one message, but I'm not going to avoid messages either.
Exactly.
So I stepped out there and did it on my own, and in the end, they realize you for your own person, And, you know, and now they come back and talk to me about stuff. And I don't even mention when they was a naysayer, because I knew in the end I was going to do my dream anyway. And then now when they see the dream realized, yes, of course they want to be a part of it. They want to be a part of it. So I'm not gonna block them out unless you was just out there actively trying to make sure that it didn't happen. Now, if you was just a naysayer, you know, I'll show you in the end. But if you was out there trying to block it, then, you know, I really ain't got nothing for you. Now I ain't got time for that. You know, you better jump on from the tail end and get with it.
You know, it's like the individual who said it to me, I can see his face right now. I come on vacation, I ran into him. But he probably just forgot all about what he said. And I knew it bring it up because I've used it for these last, you know, 30 plus years to get better and, you know, and move forward, you know, so it was all good.
And not even mention it and they seeing it, that's better than anything. It's not even good to mention it. Just let them see it.
Oh, no.
You know, Dad, Mom, yeah, pretty sure you don't have to mention it and they won't mention it, but they know, you know. And hopefully, when somebody else come towards them with a dream or something they want to do, they'll offer encouragement next time.
Exactly. You know, so I've done stuff, man, that I probably never thought that I will be doing right now. Go, Julian. You there?
Hey, I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Neighbor's cranking up the weed eater out there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so when's the next time, when you get ready to do that function here, back here, I'd love to be a part of it. Any kind of way I can hear, but I definitely would attend.
I
think we long overdue for something like that. Because I know Ken, him and his wife, they got an event coming up in Athens. I think it's a Grown and Sexy or All White event. I got to look at it.
Yeah, I saw that.
Hey.
Yeah, that's what they posted on that. the last time I was home, we had a little get together at the fire station down in Hillsboro. And we had a few people show up for that one. See, but I wasn't as fast wasn't as it is right now. So the next event is probably going to be fast out. You know, so it's all good, man. It's, you know, I've grown so much over the last 4 years. My status, event, my resume speaks for itself, though, really. I mean, it's kind of like you're my website and read my bio, and people are like, really? You did that? You got hand selected to do a portrait of Luther Vandross for a tribute to him. Yeah. They called you to do a drawing of Andrew Young, the first Black ambassador to the United States. That dude that marched hand in hand with Martin Luther King. Yeah, they call me that too.
That's what I was talking about. That's why I said it's in the same sort of category as Catlett.
Yeah.
You know, keep the tradition going. And, like I said, I really, really love it, man. I like what you're doing, man. I wish you all the success, man, especially coming from the whole home team. Man, they need to be out there chirping about you. You're putting us on the map, bro. You're putting us on the map. Well, I'm looking up hard, you know.
Yeah, I talk to people from home. You know how the Bible says, you know, those who you get more love from those beyond your home than those in your home. But
exactly. Hey, and we should expect that because it happened to Jesus when he went back home. What
exactly.
They say, hey, that's the carpenter's son. They didn't mention nothing about the miracles or nothing. That's the carpenter's son.
Exactly. But you know, I wouldn't change that. You know, I want everybody in the homeland to say, look, if all I can get from the pencil man is a T-shirt or a mug, it ain't got to be anything expensive, a original drawing or whatever. Just a MLK T-shirt or a Hands of Wisdom T-shirt. Anything to represent. That's all.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna work on that, man. Cause we gotta start supporting each other, man. Cause we got, like I said, we got all this talent. We got all this talent.
Yeah.
And yeah, our friends, even though, you know, we got all this talent, we can't do it alone. We need the home team.
We need that base out there
rallying for us, you know, keeping us going. Just keeping, sometimes, man, a good word from the home team, where you wear out, wherever you at, it'll give you that word encouragement to keep going.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So we got to change that. Like you said, we got to change that.
Really
and hopefully,
good,
you know, You do this event, you know, that it'll be a great start. It'll be a great start.
It'll
be a good theme. That'd be a good theme for the first event, you know.
Yeah. You know, I remember when I knew a song perform in the cave, but Ollie Woodson, that same with the Temptations.
Uh-huh.
From, he would do a concert I heard in the Pines or in the cave. I mean, come on occasion. Did you ever hear him sing in down that way?
Yeah.
Ollie Wilson. Well, now he lived out here, but he was from Town Creek.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Yeah. And I ran to him at the I think a Grammy Awards show in the early 90s. I knew who he was, but he didn't know who I was at the time. So once I told him who I was, and we knew some of the same people, like the Goods and some other folks from Town Creek, we had a good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he passed a couple years ago.
And we got enough famous people around here to just really be on the map. Yeah, we're gonna help you with that, man. We're gonna put this thing together because we all need to be supporting and get behind each other wherever we at, you know. We from the
exactly.
home team. We represent a lot of talent. Good people come from here. And we just really need to get on the ball. Because, like I said, in light of this thing coming through, you know, they're going to need talent. At this
Absolutely.
Thing, that thing's going to be big. But we down to anything else you want to say? We down to about 15 seconds, man. It's been a great show, and I hope to have you back on again, man.
Oh, that's where everybody who got a dream, go for the dream. That's all I'm going to say. Don't take the dream to the grave with you. You know, conquer it while you're alive.
Perfect. Well, I'll be back in touch with you, man. The show will be ready. It'll be ready. And